it's good to be here. Good to see some of you that I've never seen and some of you that I have. Sister Linda probably wouldn't acknowledge it, but she and I are cousins. I always point out my good-looking cousins. Now, if I've got, and I have some ugly cousins, and I won't point them out unless I'm put on the spot. I won't deny them, you know, but there's somebody I'll have to say, is that some of your people? And I said, well, I've been told that. Brother Hilton, I appreciate him. He's been here 13 years and then sometime. To be a pastor at any church, especially Baptist church, 13 years. You got to have two things going for you. Number one, God's got to give you the grace. Amen. Then the congregation's got to love you. Amen. And I think Brother Hilton has both of those. And a good family that supports him. You know, we preachers are a peculiar group. No one knows the pastor like a pastor. We are called in to the ministry not by our own will. We don't give in a resume to God and show him how faithful we've been and how much he should take us in and what a blessing we could be in the service. We don't give him a resume, and he will not accept our quitting. That's right. You can't turn in your resignation. Right. Or you can, but he'll throw it back at you. All right. I told him yesterday at the union I've resigned. Turn in my resignation to the Lord after a battle. And as he told me, he said, I didn't give you, take your resume and I'm not going to accept your quitting. And I didn't. I cried about it and went on. Preachers cry a lot. Sometimes you think they're crying because they're happy. Not always so. Most pastors, preach every Sunday with a broken heart. That's a fact that you may not know. Their heart is broken. Because when they look at their congregation, they see someone there that's in trouble. And when the congregation's in trouble, they're in trouble. Amen. And there see someone there that's on their way to hell.
All right.
And they've heard the gospel. Yeah. And yet have determined to go to hell.
Yeah. All right. That's right.
And that'll break his heart.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, a pastor ought to preach about hell. But he ought to do it with a broken heart. We talk about heaven because we're going there. But we talk about hell to keep people from going there. And this pastor, I'm sure he does that. And I celebrate along with you his faithfulness to the work that God has put him in. I want to just open up the Word of God and talk to you for a short while, not a long time. I'm glad that the food is so far I can't smell it. It might get the best of me. I want you to take your copy of the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Yeah, you got a watch back, clock back there, and it's for my benefit. It's not for yours. You can't see it if you're... So it's back there. Let me know when I'm on your time. So I'm glad you put that up, fellas. Just keep that up. I won't pay any attention, but put it up there. It'll make you feel good. I'm glad you're a lively bunch. I don't like to preach to people that look like they've been sucking on a lemon, washing their face in alum, and their best friend, their dog, died. I don't like to preach to people like that. If you're going to heaven, you ought to be happy about it. Amen. If you're in church, you ought to thank God. Let me lift this up in chapter number 5 of 1 Timothy, verse number 17, 18, and 19. Listen what the Word of God says. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the Word and doctrine. For the Scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. God our Father, we're grateful for this Lord's Day, that we come again to celebrate the resurrection. Every Lord's Day, we celebrate the resurrection of our blessed Lord. Because He lives, we can live also. God, we're glad that You called us when we were lost and undone without God or His Son. We wasn't reaching up, but You reached down. We were not looking for You. You came looking for us. You found us lost and wandering in the wilderness. Oh, my blessed God, You, through the shed blood on Calvary, made us able to come to the tree of life. And we're not in debt today. We've been bought and paid for. God, we owe You our all in all. Now bless, Lord, this church. Bless its leaders. Bless the dear pastor, his wife and daughter. God bless everyone who comes Sunday after Sunday. Help us now, Lord, to give Your word as it is to men and women, boys and girls as they are. And when we are finished with the message today, if there's anything that's been accomplished, we'll take no credit for it. We'll say it was our God that did it. In the strong name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, we need to honor and show our gratitude to the man of God. And the pastor, you've got a pastor that's a man of God. A man of God. And as being a man of God, I also believe that Brother Hilton is a holy man of God. Holy. Now, there's a lot of preachers that's not holy. As a matter of fact, I will even go so far to say there's some men of God that's not holy. Not that God hasn't called them, but they're just not living a life that shows the holiness of God. When you got a man that is holy and he's God's man, he's God's preacher, he's your pastor, you ought to appreciate him. Not just once a year. Oh, you ought to feed him chicken once a year. Because they say that's what we preachers love. Chicken. Well, you ought to give him that once a year. But you ought to appreciate him. Every day. Because you see, he's on call 24/7. And at night, that young lady back there talking about you couldn't sleep last night. Listen, some of you, you lay down and you can't sleep on Saturday night. Here's what I want you to think about doing. Maybe God has kept you awake so you could pray for the pastor so God can use him on Sunday morning. Just because you can't sleep, don't waste that time. Talk to God about it. Let God know that you can do. Well, you say, well, I count sheep. Why do you count sheep when you can talk to the shepherd? Amen. Oh, we've got some stargazers. Folks won't start their day till they read what the stars are going to do. I don't understand why they do that when they can talk to the star hanger. Amen. God hung the stars. And he's the shepherd. And the pastor that you have is a holy man of God. No, I don't know how old Brother Hilton is. He looks like he's about my age, but I know he's not. I know he's not. But I said this yesterday at the union. I'm going to say it again. The man that God doesn't become the man that God when he answers the call to preach. He's the man that God before he's in the womb of his mother, before he's conceived. He's the man that God. God knows what he's going to do. And where, listen, he's got a choice, but God knows what his choice is going to be. Amen. We say, well, that's predestination. No, sir. It's the foreknowledge of God. God knows the end from the beginning. Before Adam got out of the dust pile, God knew I'd be here today. Amen. You say that's too much for anybody to know. And it is. But God is just not anybody. He's the know-it-all. And he's the only one it is. There are some folks think they know it all, but he's the only one that knows it all. You can't come up on his blind side because there's light all around him. You can't tell him what he don't know. He knows it all. Listen, you can't tell him where to go. He's already there. Wherever you are, he is, and he's always coming from where he's going. Amen. Are you with me? And I'm talking fast. You got to listen fast. The man of God, called by God, before he came forth and drew his first breath, he was God's man. If this boy had not been born to preach, he'd have never preached. He could have given a good little talk. And we got a lot of churches, all they got is some talkers in them. Bless God, we need some preachers. We don't need some puppets, we need some prophets. Amen. I told you, he's God's man. And he's God's preacher. He's not your preacher. He's not your preacher. You may call him your preacher, but he's not yours. And he's not your man either. He's God's man. He's God's preacher. We got enough of preachers that belongs to the congregation. Are you listening to me now? The congregation will tell them what they can and cannot preach. Listen. If there's a man in the pulpit that's been told by the congregation what to preach, and he does it, then they ought to open the door and lead him out. They'd leave it shut and throw him through the door. Amen. Amen. If he ain't got enough of backbone how to stand firmly on the infallible God-breathed Word of God, he's got no business behind the sacred stand. Amen. He needs to stand flat-footed on the Word of God. They may not like it, but God didn't tell him that they wouldn't like what you preached. And listen, brother preacher, we need to offend somebody. We need to offend people with the Word of God. Amen. I hear one preacher tell him, he said he had one of his staff members had offended somebody, and he went and told him, said, listen, that ain't your business. You are here to serve, not to offend. He said, if there's any offending going to be done, I'm going to do it. And he said, I'm going to do it from the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says the Word of God will offend some. They don't like the way you preach it. They may preach too much of it at one time. Well, bless God, if it's going to do you some good, then take it. You know what? We have people that come to church on Sunday morning, and they declare that the preacher preached to that bunch that didn't show up that day. He said, you know, the preacher preached on so-and-so, and they weren't even there. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. God knows who's going to be in the church on Sunday morning. If there ain't but one person in there, whatever the Lord gives this man to preach, he ought to unload it. Amen. Amen. Listen. He's got to do it, and got to do it God's way. So, he's God's preacher. He's got to preach what God lays on his heart. Whatever is hard in his heart. Not in his mind, but in his heart. And he may not like to preach it. I've had to preach sermons that I didn't like to preach. I'd like to preach something else. But I have to get my messages from the one that gives them. Amen. And that's God. God knows what I need to say before I get up. And I study, and I prepare, and I do the best I can to honor God with the Word of God. And I rebuke and exhort, comfort those that are weak, and comfort those that are bereaved, and comfort the heavy hearted, and afflict that bunch that don't care for God nor His people. They need to be afflicted. Amen. You ain't used to this, and that's fine with me. I don't have to worry about it. Hey, I told him yesterday, I said, I've got to go preach somewhere tomorrow. I'm going to throw a bum and run. Amen. That's the advantage of being like I am. I'm here today and gone somewhere tomorrow. Amen. Brother Hilton's got to hang around with you. He's got to straighten up if I mess up. I'm not going to try to mess anything up today. I want to make it where it'll make it easy for him next Sunday. As a matter of fact, maybe by next Sunday, you'll be so close to God, when the preacher gets up and opens the Word of God, you'll holler, glory! And start shouting. Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Shouting ain't old-fashioned, is it? Some of you have already been shouting some there. Listen, you know, we used to shout it. Them old women, way back when I was a boy, they'd shout their bobby pins out of their hair. That's when they let their hair grow long enough to have bobby pins in them. Amen. That's right. Yeah, brother, you can remember. You said you're 68. You've been there. Amen. Hey, listen. They'd shout their troubles over. And then we got folks today, friends. We're in a modern day. Got to be watch this stuff. Well, we're in a new day now. New things. Yeah, God will show you a new thing. But listen, I like the old way myself. God shows me some new things, but I like the old way of doing things. Amen. I just like old time preaching. Even when brother, and that's the reason I know I was born to preach. When I was a little boy and when I went to Sunday school, I expected them to talk to me. But when I went to that sanctuary, I expect them to holler at me. Amen. And every once in a while, the church where I grew up at Cherokee Chapel Methodist Church, back then they had preachers that preached. But every once in a while, they'd get a talker to come in there. And I just could hardly stand it. I wanted somebody to tell me something. I wanted them to holler at me. Amen. Yeah, but now we're more sophisticated now, preacher. We've got these sound systems. You don't have to holler. I want you to hear me and hear me good. You go to ball games and holler. You may go to a theater and holler. You come to church and you think you ought to be quiet. Something wrong somewhere. Somebody would take a pigskin and throw it and make a touchdown, and you're screaming holler. And we come to the house of God, and somebody would brag on Jesus, and you'll keep silent about it. There's something wrong somewhere. Oh, I like the old way. You said, well, I like the new way. Well, quit breathing. That's old-fashioned. Amen. Quit eating. That's old-fashioned. If you're going to quit the old-fashioned stuff, quit it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you still with me? He said, now notice, the elder that rules will be counted worthy of double honor. Now, the deacons ought to be treated with honor. Sunday school teachers with honor. But the man of God, double honor. That ain't my makeup. That's God's makeup. He said double honor. That means if you say the deacons twice, say it four times. Do you know what the double is, don't you? If you ain't got but one pill of nothing there, that's double. I'm going to tell you another thing. He's not your preacher. Don't you think he's your preacher? You might, and every once in a while, brother, when I pass and someone come up, say, preacher, if the Lord lays it on your heart, sometimes they use, I hear you preach a subject, I'd like for you to use that again. I said, if the Lord lays it on my heart, I will. I just can't preach it like I did before. Because, you see, I didn't take notes when I was preaching that time.
All right.
I can't preach while I didn't take notes. Amen. I can use the same text, but bless God, I can't follow the notes. Every once in a while, I'm doing such a good job, I wish I could take notes. Amen. Like to send me somebody to take notes for me. Anyway. You might tell him that you'd like to hear a subject and let him design it if God would allow him to do that. But listen, if he rules, and that the book says here, they rule well. Rule. Be in authority. Obey them that are in authority. For they watch over your soul. Amen. The principal at the schoolhouse looks over your education. The doctor looks over your physical being. But the pastor looks over your soul. And that's more important. Because when your education is silent and your body is going back to the dust, your soul to the God that made it. And if it's been redeemed, I believe I'll preach a little on that. If it's been redeemed, there ain't enough of devils in hell can stop you. You're going to go all the way. Sometime you're all alone. And I told him yesterday, Brother Hilton, you look at your wife some Sunday morning and she's rolling her eyes at you. And the deacon looked like he's ready to walk out before you get through preaching. But just stay the course. Because you've been plowed up by the plowshares of the gospel. You've been washed in the blood. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. Set apart for the glory of God. Run this race with patience, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, you know if you're saved. There's too many churches that's got members that ain't saved. We got some sheep. And I tell you this. You know what God calls the pastor to do? Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Not entertain the goats. No. You know, we come to church, and we want the preacher to do what he's going to do in a hurry. But we'll go and sit in front of our television set, and we'll watch the young and the foolish. waiting for the edge of night, looking for a brighter tomorrow, and searching for a better place. Our lives is like glass in an hourglass, and we're running to and fro with all of my children and wind up in General Hospital. But you sit right there and watch it. You ain't listening to me, you. I've been up here 18 minutes. I've got to finish this thing. Listen. Let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The doctrine of the word of God. I want to tell you something, folks. You know, there's people who says the doctrine of eternal security. That's the Baptist doctrine. But that's a Bible doctrine. If any man be in Christ, old things passed away, behold, all things become new. Isn't that what the book says? And he's got us in his hands. And he holds us. Amen. God Almighty from glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I want to tell you something today. I am in the hands of the crucified Son of God. I've been washed and covered in the blood. I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm in the Father's hands. And if the devil should get where I'm at, he'll be a sanctified devil. Amen. If he could get where I'm at, he'd be breaking through all of those things. I could whip him with one hand turned up behind my back. Because I'm saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'm saved from hell to heaven. I'm saved from poverty to riches. I'm just saved. Amen. I don't know how you felt when you came out of the wilderness leaning on the Lord. I knew I had made the right choice. I accepted Jesus and he accepted me. I didn't have nothing to offer him, but he had all to offer me. He said, if you'll take me, I've got a place prepared for you. And he said, I'm going to bring you in and adopt you into my family. Ever think that I've got, you can enjoy it. Amen. I don't look like I got much, but my Father owns it all. Amen. I'm not poor. I'm rich because of him. Go ahead and own your inheritance. Some of you children waiting for your daddy to die to get yours. I ain't waiting on nobody to die to get mine. Amen. He's already done it. Amen. Jesus Christ died. There's a word, there is a will, there's got to be a testimony, and there's got to be somebody that had to die. Amen. Jesus died. And then he came back to administer his will. He didn't put it in nobody else's hand. He came back, he died, and made the will possible, then came back, implemented it. You see, do you understand? What we've got, it's not in this flesh. In my flesh dwell no good thing. But what you see is not what I'm going to be. Now I'm about of clay. An old coal, if you may. But I'm going to be a diamond someday. Amen. And God calls his children home. I'm going to go ahead now. He said, you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. If you take care of an ox, what would you do with the man of God? If you'll bless the man of God, God will bless you. I've read it in the word of God. Elijah showed up at a widow's house one day. She had about enough a meal to make a little cake of bread. Some of you folks don't know what a cake of bread is because you've been eating light bread. But a cake of bread is what you take that meal or flour, mix a little oil in it,
put it on a skillet and put some fire on it and flip it over a time or two and eat it. That's the cake. But he says to her, go fix me a cake. Well, I got me just enough for me and my boy. And we're going to fix it. And then we're going to lay down and die.
Amen.
But the man of God showed up. He said, oh, do what you said. But fix me one first. And she took him at his word. And she fixed up him a cake. And she handed it to him. And I can imagine that boy prophet dropped his head and said, Father, I thank you for the nourishment of our bodies. Hallelujah to God. He said, now go back and fix you and your son something. And she went back to the barrel. And there was more in it than there were when he started getting out. And she kept going back without going to the Piggly Wiggly or the Food Lion. 3.5 years and 8 from the same barrel. Because she honored the man of God. Touch not the Lord's anointed and do his prophets no harm. Oh, he's God's man first. He's God's preacher. But he's your pastor. He's your pastor. Do you know what a pastor is? Someone that cares for you. I heard some testimonies about this young man. He may have been sitting down getting ready to eat, or his wife hasn't got it ready. And he gets a phone call. Even if you don't leave out of the house, you've got to stay on the phone for a while. But you don't know that. He's God's man. He's God's preacher. But he's your pastor. And he'll spend the time that you need him. Whatever it is. And I'm going to tell you another thing. And I want you to get this if you get nothing else that I say. You don't pay your pastor. I'm going to say that again. You don't pay him. You support him. We pay our preacher a such and such. No, you don't. If you do, he's got out there. He's a hireling. He just his paying goes.
Amen.
To ever try to pay the man of God. I want to tell you something. I have never preached a sermon as sorry as some of mine was that I would sell. Not one. I'll give them away, but I won't sell them. And I ain't done nothing but preaching pastor since 79.
Yeah.
And God's kept the wolf away from my door.
Yeah.
He got to howling pretty close a time or two. But he didn't get there. Because
yeah.
What God starts, he'll finish.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Next Sunday, I'll be at another church. Dropping bums and leaving. I don't have to answer to a deacon board. If this church has got a deacon board, forever one of them. You don't know our deacon. Wait till I finish this. Wait a minute. A board is something that rules. Deacons don't rule. They serve. You got a committee of deacons. You got a pastor that leads. Deacon serves. Congregation approves. You got it right? Deacon, don't you get mad at me. I just said if you was a board, you need to get fired. Amen. Are you with me? I know you didn't know which word was going to go with that thing, did you? You thought I was going to say get rid of all the deacons. No, sir. Now, we'd have a man in the church ought to be a deacon of a sort. That'll serve tables and wait on tables and do some things that'll please God and assist the pastor. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to try to quit. Did you know when in the old covenant, Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egypt and there was in a battle and Moses would hold up his hands. And as he held up his hand, the victory, they were having the victory. But then Moses' hands got tired.
All right.
And then the enemy started overtaking him. But there's a man got on one side, man got on the other. All you got to do, Moses, you just sit there. We'll hold up your hands. And God took care of the battle. Because somebody came to the man of God and held his hands up. I'm not talking about physically holding them up. I'm talking about holding them up in prayer and protecting him. When he's not around, the enemy is out to get him. Protect the man of God. He's fireproof. Fire can't burn him. Got life insurance beyond the grave. But he's got a name that can be scandalized. Some loose tongue something can say things they oughtn't to say. If you got anything to say to this man, come to his face and make sure you got God with you. Now, I'm bold enough to preach what God lays on my heart. And I'm also bold enough to apologize when I'm wrong. I don't want to. Because I don't want to be wrong, brother. I want to be right. But if I am wrong, I will say, forgive me. I have to do that. But you see, my apology to God, every time I pray, I apologize. Forgive me of my sins. Now, here's what I want you to do. Continue to love this fella. Hold him close to your heart. He's weak. He got some weaknesses. I know. If you don't believe it, ask his wife. You think he acts like this all the time. He's so sweet. And I wished I had a pretty smile like that. I wished I wasn't so rough. But I'm like sandpaper.
All right.
Same like rubbing people the wrong way.
All right.
Be like old Brother Billy Sunday, brother. I'm quitting. But Brother Billy Sunday, somebody said, Brother Billy, your problem, you know what your problem is? He said, no, so what is it? He said, you're always rubbing the cat the wrong way. He said, let her turn around. And she won't be rubbed the wrong way.
All right.
So I'm always rubbing the wrong way, but I'm doing it to get attention. Because until you get somebody's attention, you can't tell them nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.